Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, the last time we talked to tonight's guest, he was on the verge of releasing his More Like Lightning CD. Hamilton's urban minstrel Peter Tidklar has recently released Better Things, another eclectic collection of blues, folk, and roots-inspired songs with solidly spiritual lyrics. Peter's on the phone with us from Hamilton this evening to talk about this, his latest music offering. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to Under Francis Street from Peter Tidklar's latest CD, Better Things.
Down on Francis Street, I'm keeping my ear to the ground. I'm down here listening for any sign of the healing that's coming round. I'm here to pray for peace for all these broken and hungry ones, trapped by the tracks and factories that keep their longing and wonder down on the broken down side of town. So many coming and going, the smell of sausage comes in my nose. My mother puts her supper on and hopes her children are coming home, but so many of them won't. So hard not to feel like dirt. They're not so much looking to be scratched where it itches. They want healing for where it hurts. And they're not looking in any church. If you listen close, you can hear the sound of the many streams hidden underground on the broken down side of town. Under Francis Street.
And now to our interview with Peter Tidklar. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening. How are you, Robert?
Good. Now, we talked a couple of years ago, just as More Like Lightning came out, and just for those who didn't hear that interview, let's get a little bit of background about you. When did your interest in music start?
I was born into a very musical household. I'm the 10th of 11 children. My mother was very musical. We probably had an in-house choir just from just how many musical people they were. My sister that played piano. Yeah, I grew up with music from church, I guess, but also the radio and the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel and all kinds of other things. Music coming in my ears, as Paul Simon puts it in a song. I've had a lifelong interest in music and always knew that I wanted to write and sing.
So, well, when did you actually start writing your own music?
I was probably writing things in my head when I was a kid and in high school, but I probably started taking it seriously, I'd say 30 years ago, at least, a good 30-plus years. I've been, recently I did a songwriter's circle where my wife encouraged me to do a song that I'd written back in 1979 that she thought was a great song that I had to record. So I kind of looked at it and thought, yeah, I was taking my lyric writing seriously and melody crafting and the things I like to put into a good song, all of that time. So yeah, it's been decades of song crafting that I've been doing.
Well, as you've been doing that, who have been some of the other musicians in that you've kind of looked to as an influence or have influenced you in your own songwriting?
Well, I'd say probably my biggest influence is Bob Dylan. I'd also say that writers like Bruce Coburn and Leonard Cohen, people have put thoughtful lyrics in their music. That's been something that's been a strong shaper of the way I like to the way I like to write songs. But I also grew up musically in a time where were strong melodies and strong hooks and good bridges and middle eights, the Beatles called them, bridges and so on. I love song structure. So, I can sort of come from that period of time. Cat Stevens, Paul Simon back in when I was younger had strong influence on sort of implanting memorable melody. So that combination of things, challenging lyrics or provocative lyrics or lyrics that make you think and melodies that kind of grab you by the heart.
Well, when you did, there's two things as you're talking that kind of struck me as number one is the songwriters that you mentioned. A lot of them are strong storytellers. Like the lyrics are strong because in most cases they're telling a story. You know, Bob Dylan, Bruce Coburn, Leonard Cohen. I mean, there's that storytelling component. Do you find that that's something that you'd kind of strive for in your own works?
I don't even know if I even need to strive for it. I think it's true that it's there. I think there's just so much story around us, and I'm a bit of a sponge for that. I think some of it just kind of comes out because there's just, in the case of this current record in particular, there's a lot of pathos and a lot of trauma that I see happening in the stories of people's lives, and it just kind of comes to me to want to get that down in a song crafting kind of way. So,
well, looking at that, you're also talking about as you were listening to songs and looking at the melodies and things like that. Did you start getting to the point where you were sort of deconstructing the music as it was going along to see how it was actually working, and then how you could take that kind of element and put it in your own music?
I suppose I would do that and continue to do that to a degree, but there is a point at which when you deconstruct things too much or analyze them too much, you start losing the beauty of it. It's like trying to pin a butterfly down when you try to figure out or analyze what a great melody is or the way a melody flows into a bridge or a chorus in a way that is going to be effective. When you overdo that, it can become contrived. So, but at the same time, I do have a kind of a positive obsession, really, with why does a melody grab you by the heart? Why does it haunt you in a way that, particularly when there's a lyric attached to it that really, really grabs you by the heart, is the way I would put it.
Well, looking at all of that and looking at your own music and that, you also gravitate towards stringed instruments. What sort of got you going into using guitar, using mandolin, ukulele, those type of instruments?
Well, I've played guitar for quite a few years, it was always just it's probably the portability of it, but it's just really the music of the culture, really, to do with songwriting. I used to play electric guitar, but not so much anymore. More recently, I was just talking to another songwriter about this recently. I have an obsession with the ukulele as a small, smaller instrument and an instrument with a particular voice where the melody lines seem to just come out and come through more effectively or in a way that grabs my ear anyway. And also, I've been playing mandolin for about 15 years now. I picked it up, and more recently as well, an instrument called a hammer tone, which I have played on my last few records, the Maiden Hamilton. It's an electric instrument, but it's like an octave 12 string guitar. It has a high chimey sort of sound. There's a sound I kind of find emerges from. As a songwriter, I find that it emerges out of these kind of instruments that work for me. I've written a few things on the piano, but there's a different style of song I find tends to emerge off the piano. And it's just more of a native instrument to me, and particularly with the uke, it's a portable instrument, and it's one that I've been using. I use it daily in a practice I have as a Benedictine oblate. I'm into chanting the Psalms every day. And as the Psalms say, play on stringed instruments, or play with the lute. It says all kinds of instruments, but as a psalmist, as an oblate who takes the Psalms seriously, having an instrument under my fingers just becomes sort of second nature along with my voice. So.
Yeah, and there's been quite a revival with ukulele as well. It's gone from being just that little instrument that you might learn in grade 5 to something that some musicians are taking very seriously as a means of of developing songwriting.
There's a great video out there that James Hill, who's an amazing Canadian ukulele player from Nova Scotia. It's called The Mighty Uke, and the subtitle of it is The Return of a Musical Underdog. So I like what that says about.
Yeah, I'll have to look for that one.
It's a really amazing uke.
Yeah.
A DVD about the uke.
Yep.
Mighty Uke, it's called.
The Mighty Uke, great. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Peter Tigler and find out more about his new CD, Better Things. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
The heliotrope gold is on the rise. It's hard to see where it's coming from, for no eye has seen the better things to come. The healing river and this trickle of song can only be contained for so long. Yeah, an ocean kiss of tenderness is holding us together with a bond so strong. We're heading back to the willows where our hearts are hung. Till the pools of life are spilling off our tongue. High and low, rich and poor. Far and wide, yeah, old and young. We'll be in it together in the bonds so strong. It can only be contained for so long. You tear a mama and I'll be daddy, don't say down. They got the love lamp burning, yeah, we're keeping it on. Such a melodious touch, never too late, and never too much. It's hard to see where it's coming from, but then we've never really seen the better things to come. Hidden river raging in a trickle of song, holding us together as we don't sit down. In an ocean kiss of tenderness, we got the love lamp burning, yeah, we'll keep. After laughter brings a holy shine, after glow of holy wine. It's the tenderness, the knowingness that I am yours and you are mine.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. That was Bond So Strong from Peter Tigler's new CD, Better Things. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Peter. You were sort of talking a little bit about songwriting and that beforehand. In your turn, in terms of crafting songs for you, what comes first? Is it the melody? Is it the lyrics? You talked about how as a Benedictine oblate, you're working through the Psalms and you're using the ukulele at the same time to do that. So how does the creative process work for you?
It really works both ways, but for me, sometimes there's just a lyrical phrase that has a particular cadence or a particular rhythm to it. That just wants to be in a chorus or wants to be in a bridge. I can already picture where it goes in the song before the melody's there. But I'm a melodic writer. I live with, sometimes I wish I could turn the melodies off. I just seem to have melody being downloaded through me all the time, and I think in melody the way some people might think in pictures. So I'm primarily a melody songwriter. I start with the music, but more recently, and this is the Psalms have been kind of coaching me in this, where I look at something that has a particular cadence to it without rhyme, doesn't necessarily have rhyme. It might have an irregular number of syllables, and there's something about just the way that you phrase language, which then gives shape to the melody that it emerges. So I've been enjoying that process as well as a different tack or a different angle at which to come at how I create a song.
Well, looking at all that and looking at the new CD, Better Things, and you mentioned this earlier, that one of the things that captures you are sort of the stories that are around you. What were some of the inspirations for the songs on Better Things?
Well, the record starts off with a trilogy of songs, three songs that are, it's called the Tim Trilogy. And I was, as a lot of people in my city of Hamilton were, profoundly impacted by the traumatic thing that happened to Timothy Bosma about a year and a half ago. He's part of the, I didn't know Tim, but he's part of my church community. I've been getting to know his family a bit through this process. And there was something about that just gripped me in a way that I just, if nothing else, writing songs about it was a way of processing something that was sort of over-the-top trauma that impacted our city, and just the dark nature of what befell Tim. And so that was one very strong story. And there are a couple of others, too, that shaped this record.
Well, I was listening to Francis Street last night, and that sort of strikes me as talking about one of the grittier areas of the city. Is that something that attracted you as well?
The broken down side of town, yeah. There's also a backstory to that too. I wrote that song. It was inspired by someone I knew who came into our church momentarily. Or for a season, but he was a very broken person who grew up in down Francis Street. And he had a crack addiction that led to him being in a wheelchair with a .22 slug lodged in his spine. So it's very gritty. It's a human story. It's a story of someone who grew up there where the tracks and the factories that song talks about, it kind of keeps people hemmed in a place where it seems like there's so little hope.
Well, in looking at it, I mean, there's also a variety of musical styles on there. I mean, everything from sort of a blues, roots, folk, there's a touch of bluegrass country type of thing. Were you deliberately trying to work with different styles, or did just as the songs came about, that's the progression that it took?
I'd say the latter there. That's progression it took. This is probably the most thematic record I've made to do with, there's a number of sort of guiding metaphors going through the whole thing and I had a number of songs that sort of followed that metaphor of, in the case of Francis Street, it talks about streams flowing underground, and another song called Anybody's Gift, it talks about something flowing through creation. There's an idea of something flowing and something life-giving in the face of trauma and in the context of trauma. So the songs themselves were written in different styles just because that's what I like to do. So bringing them together, there's a thematic thread to it that sort of goes through all the different blues and folk and roots type of influences that are in there.
Well, and I guess sort of too, in terms of themes, the overarching theme is the title of the CD, which is Better Things. I guess when you're looking at some of these grittier things of life, how does the Better Things come to bear on that?
Well, it's kind of hooked into a scripture verse that eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has in store for those who love Him, and I've added better things to that. The adjective better, mostly because the title track of the song is actually a George MacDonald poem that I set to music, and it's an effort at sounding notes of hope is the way I put it into the face of some of these gritty and traumatic backstories that have influenced these songs, and that there is a river that makes glad the city of God, even though the city has got brokenness and addiction and trauma going on in it. So it's trying to just sort of draw attention to or point ahead to better things. That's definitely what was the heart heartbeat behind this record.
Well, looking at it, what were some of the challenges that you had in producing Better Things?
Part of it was maintaining my own stability when being quite intentional about sort of facing headlong some very traumatic backstory that shaped this. I've mentioned the Tim trilogy and mentioned Rick, who grew up on Francis Street, who's in a wheelchair. It's another story there that shaped by the artist who did the art work on this record. He about a year ago had a real trauma hit him, again kind of connected to addiction that his son was in, and his son met a violent end as well. And that song, which is called White Grace Trembling, it's a poem that my friend asked me to set the music. So that was a challenge to me to really I sang at his son's funeral. I just had this sort of prayerful intentionality that I was going to just walk head first into the trauma with the guidance of the Spirit. So one of the challenging things was, these things can hit you hard. There's a kind of empathetic streak, I think, that creative and songwriting people have. So that was a real challenge to me, sort of emotionally and spiritually. But production-wise, I've never had a record that had so much favor to it and so much flow to it in terms of the way the instruments, the musicians that I had on it, play on it, and the way the songs came together from a production point of view. My son plays bass all over it, he knew the songs really well. We had just had a great groove going with the drummer we've worked with. So production-wise, it was challenging writing and creating the songs, but they just came out. I'm still quite astounded at the sound we emerged with and the overall feel of the record.
Well, with that, we're going to take one final break and then come back and finish our conversation with musician Peter Tichler. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Yes, it is. The glowing pages of this open book ring with echoes of paradise. What I see out there from my rocking chair makes the living waters rise. It's making me weep, moving over the deep. And where it comes to rest, and where it's going to next is anybody's guess. And yet it's anybody's guess. I won't be going nowhere. No, I'll be right here in my rocking chair, looking out for that fist of cloud that tells me it's gonna rain. Here comes the rain. Going to next is anybody's guess. Yes, I won't be going nowhere. Oh, I'll be riding in my rocking chair, looking out for that fist of cloud that tells me it's gonna rain. It's telling me all that I need to know, all about the break of day.
Welcome back to Ars Connection. You've been listening to Anybody's Gift from Peter Tichler's Better Things CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Peter. You're talking about the challenges you went through as you were writing and developing some of the songs and that. What are you hoping that people are going to take away with them after they listen to Better Things?
I would hope that people would get a glimpse of their own humanity and their own gift of life that they carry. That song that you just played, Anybody's Gift, is something that points to that. And also just to, I keep coming back to this phrase of wanting to sound notes of hope into dark places, into traumatic places. So I'm hoping people that, especially people who have experienced traumas of varying degrees, the word trauma comes up quite a bit in the creation of this record. I'm wanting to comfortably to Jerusalem, the way Isaiah talks about it, about, you know, with Christmas coming up, I think of tidings of comfort and joy, particularly right in the face of traumatic and dark things.
Well, where can people get more information about you and about the CD?
Well, I have a website, Peter Tigelaar, or we actually have a domain called petertig.com because my name is hard to spell. I'm on Facebook. I'm happy to look for, to say yes to friendships with on Facebook with people who are interested in music and tracking where my gigs are. All my stuff is for sale on my website. I'm happy to mail out copies of the wonderful artwork that was been done by James Tugan on this, and it's a great package. It's a great sounding record.
Great. Well, Peter, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Good talking to you again.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Peter Tichler. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.